the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Tim Keller. And Tim is an American, you can tell by his accent, or his lack of an accent, but he's been in South Africa since 1998 doing the Lord's work. He's part of Peter Hammond's In Touch Ministries, our frontline fellowship, and they're on the front line in so many countries in Africa, bringing the word of the Lord there. And since I can't go, I and my wife are at a point of life where you're not ready to go off and live in the bush, why, of course, we support what Peter and Tim and the other people of their team do. And I hope that many of you will give serious consideration to doing the same thing. Well, Tim, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't we sort of talk about some of the countries there that you're associated with. Now, you actually operate out of Cape Town?
Yes, that's right. Our headquarters are there in Cape Town.
Well, you know, Cape Town is one of I always consider one of the five most beautiful cities in the world there, you know, surrounded by that beautiful tabletop mountain behind you. And certainly when I lived there in Africa during the 1970s, why, you could walk the streets of Cape Town, you know, day or night without any fear. What about today?
Today things are a lot different. And unfortunately, what's happened is the government has allowed crime to take place to an extent where people have to live behind high walls, razor wire and security fences, and have armed response units and security, private security companies to look after them, because the government just doesn't do it.
And this, of course, is the end result of American foreign policy that insisted that, you know, that we bring Robert Mugabe to power, who immediately released so many of the criminals, people, you know, with long criminal histories from prison, and created a state of lawlessness there that really is so sad. What's happening to the economy? I mean, what's happening to the stability of Rand? When I went to South Africa, why the South African Rand was, you know, about 50% more valuable than the American dollar. Where's the Rand today?
The rand today is about 6 rand to $1. It has stabilized. The last few years, it has fluctuated quite dramatically. At one point, it was up to 12 rand to the dollar. So even just in the last couple of years, we've seen it go to one extreme and then come back again. And that instability has left a lot of importers in that kind of out to dry, because they're not sure how to do their business when their rand fluctuates so rapidly.
Do you still have currency controls, so you can't take money out of the country?
There are regulations when it comes to forex, yes.
And when I lived there, of course, if you were a South African, you could only take 30,000 rand out of the country, which is, by the time I left, why, the rand was worth considerably less than the dollar. So anybody who was invested in rand had lost perhaps 50-75% of their investment, but you know, things have gotten far worse since then, and that's how they're able to control the people through currency controls. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see currency controls here, because we brought this tragedy to South Africa, and I fear the same thing will happen here. But there's even far worse in Rhodesia, where the American government forced the people to accept the leader that we chose for them. The people of Rhodesia elected a man named Bishop Mazaweva, a moderate black man. But that wasn't what our leaders wanted. We wanted Robert Mugabe, who was a lifelong Marxist, who'd been trained in communist China, to become the dictator of Rhodesia, of which he is today, thanks to the policies of the American State Department, which always seems to be making mistakes. But I don't think that mistakes, I think they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know what's happened to Rhodesia.
Yeah, Rhodesia's gone through a lot of changes in the last 20 years. I mean, I think in the 70s, one Rhodesian dollar can buy you three U.S. dollars. Things were very prosperous, and there was a lot of high hopes for Rhodesia. It was known as the breadbasket of Africa. It was exporting food. Nowadays, or at least more recently, there's widespread starvation. The current exchange rates are about one U.S. dollar can buy you between 100 and 180,000 Zim dollars. So the currency's just gone way out of whack.
Robert, so if you had your money in Rhodesian rand, Rhodesian dollars, it's essentially worthless now.
That's correct.
And of course, the stability of a currency, the stability of a society is dependent upon the stability of the currency. You destroy the value of the currency, you destroy the stability of society, just like they're doing here in America today. As our dollar, you know, is simply being used to preserve currency throughout the world. And when all those dollars come flooding back home, anybody who has their investment moderated in dollars is simply going to be wiped out. Well, what's happening to the rights of the people, though? What's happening to the blacks there? My understanding is they've actually bulldozed and destroyed the homes of anybody who opposes the dictator that we established there.
Yes, Robert Mugabe has some very horrific policies when it comes to dealing with his opposition. During the elections and things, there was widespread intimidation and that sort of thing. And there are certain areas in Zimbabwe where the opposition is very strong. And in those areas, Robert Mugabe has gone through and bulldozed a lot of houses. I knew one lady there that was, we would buy these curios, these like small wooden things like your rhinos and your elephants and things like that. She had a little shop there near Lake Kariba, and I went there to buy some things. And next thing, this shop, I went back there a later time, the shop was just bulldozed. Apparently, they didn't have the right paperwork to be there, and so the government came through and just flattened the house. And so she was down by the lake, just on the beach, trying to sell whatever she could. And a lot of the wooden things that she was selling were confiscated because they were contaminated. So there's these kind of lame excuses that they come up with to deal with their opposition. In other areas, it's far worse. There's been a lot more homes that have been destroyed, and people are starting to starve to death.
But was she a black woman or a white woman?
No, she was black.
And this is the thing. They're discriminating against the blacks. And the Chinese Maoists, the Chinese communists, who we are funding, are over there helping Mugabe. What's the influence of the Chinese communists over there in Rhodesia today?
There's actually quite a strong influence. China's starting to help Zimbabwe and some of the other areas that they're struggling with, because Zimbabwe hasn't been able to pay any of its debts. The power and the phone companies and everything used to be coming out of South Africa, but the telecommunications in the country is now being run by China. China's come in and wanting to help in various areas, and I think Robert Mugabe is basically promising the Chinese farms and different incentives to help the country out.
All right, so basically there's an increasing communist influence there. Of course, we knew Mugabe was a lifelong communist when we brought him to power. Now, of course, we fund communist China, and they maintain this ruthless tyranny in Rhodesia. Once the breadbasket of Africa, there now people are starving. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Well, certainly, what about the Lord's work in Rhodesia? Is Christianity growing and its influence increasing?
Well, I would say it is, but it's very restricted.
Hold that thought, Tim. We'll be back in just a moment after the break.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, I'll just stand here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Tim Keller from In Touch Ministries, and we were beginning to talk about what's happening to Christianity in once strongly Christian Rhodesia. Go ahead.
Well, like you said, this Christianity in Rhodesia has been pretty strong. And like most places in Africa, it's grown a lot. There's been a lot of evangelism done. But when it comes to discipleship, very little has been done. And what happened is the church has had an opportunity at a certain season to be able to speak out against Robert Mugabe, to be able to make a stand and to motivate people to dealing with the matter. They didn't think it was their place to say anything, so they just kind of passively sat back while the government just kind of dominated the scene and just took everything over and started causing all this havoc. And now the church is at the point where it can't say anything. There's so much intelligence and security in terms of what the government does and with their what's called the CIO, which is like their KGB. People are too afraid to say anything. If anybody does say anything, there was some bishops and things that had a prayer meeting to pray for the government. And even in just praying for the government, a number of them were arrested and beaten and things like that.
And, of course, there's always the beatings. Remember, this is the government we installed in Rhodesia. They had a fine government that worked and worked efficiently, and everybody, you know, could vote. You had to have a certain amount of education, but there was no discrimination, organized racial discrimination in Rhodesia. We destroyed that country, and we brought it to the point where even the ministers are afraid to speak out, but then they don't want to speak out in America either, just like it was in Hitler's Germany. And so it is in America today. They wouldn't speak out in Germany. They wouldn't speak out in Rhodesia. And they won't speak out in America. And look what happened to Rhodesia and to Germany. Well, certainly, well, you know, you spent a lot of time in Zambia as well. And Zambia is a much different situation. For there, many, many years, where Kenneth Kaunda, who is a Marxist, dedicated Marxist, really ruled the country with an iron hand. Why did he ever allow free elections? Did he think that he'd be swept back into power?
I think a lot of it was just international pressure and different things like that. The country was in economic ruin, and they are trying to solicit outside support from the World Bank and different things like that. And so stipulations on getting external support means that you've got to have free elections. And so they had free elections, and he got booted out, and things turned around quite dramatically after that.
And so what's happening in Zambia today now? All of these countries are very, very wealthy. Well, of course, you know, certainly Mexico is a very wealthy country. The only trouble is you only got a few wealthy people in Mexico, and everybody else is impoverished. But Mexico has all sorts of great natural resources. Zambia does as well. They have a lot of copper. What else do they have there that, you know, allows them to be prosperous?
Well, they got a tremendously untapped agricultural potential. So there's a lot of farmers that were kicked out of Zimbabwe. They went up into Zambia, and now they've been able to grow things and export food and different products. And they've actually, a lot of the relief aid that's now going into Zimbabwe is being purchased in Zambia, grown by the same farmers that were kicked out of Zimbabwe. So that's kind of an ironic situation. The infrastructure in Zambia has dramatically improved, but we're still hoping things to get better.
All right, fine. So things really are picking up there as far as Zambia is concerned. What about the Christianity in Zambia?
The Christianity in Zambia I would say it's like a river that's a mile wide but an inch deep. I mean, there's a lot of widespread Christianity. Everybody that you talk to, yes, they're a Christian. They love the Lord and that. But they don't really know very much about the gospel. They don't know a lot about Christianity. A lot of people don't have Bibles, and the pastors are not very well trained. And I've been on outreaches with pastors where you're trying to lead people to the Lord, and the pastor's ready to pray with the person, but never mentioned sin or repentance. So even some of the basic fundamentals of the gospel are sometimes missing. So we have to do a lot of extensive leadership training there.
And well, of course, see, here in America, we don't like to talk about sin either or repentance. We preach a gospel where God loves everybody, but, you know, we're really not sinners. And if you're not a sinner, you really don't need a Savior. So we seem to modify the gospel here in America just as they seem to be not preaching it in Africa.
Yeah, I mean, the gospel is not about life enhancement. It's about being saved from sin.
Amen to that. Well, now, what about, I know you've been in the Sudan, and that's one of the great tragedies. They've slaughtered pretty close to 2 million Christians in the southern Sudan, while our government just looked on and, you know, was more interested in other things. 2 million Christians slaughtered there. But now I understand they have some sort of a peace agreement or some sort of a peace treaty. What's really going on in the Sudan?
Well, most of my work has actually been in the South Sudan, and things were quite difficult early on when I started working there, because we would have to smuggle in Bibles, because Bibles were illegal at that time. We were being bombed. There was always threats of attacks and things like that. And so it was a very hostile environment. It still is in many ways, because there's very, very little infrastructure. There's a lot of widespread disease and different things like that. And so when we were working there, things were very difficult. Now that's changed. They have now a peace agreement with the northern government, which is an Arab Muslim government. And the stipulations on the peace treaty have allowed a lot of freedoms and has put it into the bombing and that sort of thing.
Now, of course, our good friend, the Chinese communists, who raised the money for PetroChina here on our bond markets so they could go in and begin to tapping the oil reserves of the Sudan. You know, is the what's happening as far as the ability to introduce Christianity? Are Bibles still banned? Of course, we've talked to Peter in the past, who told us that the UN officials who were there supposedly, you know, monitoring the peace agreement or the relationship between North and South, the UN officials wouldn't allow Bibles in. What about today? Can you get Bibles in legally?
Nowadays you can, because of the stipulations of the peace agreement allow the South to have kind of an autonomy that where they have the freedom to bring in that sort of thing. And there's a number of organizations now that are going in and doing exactly that, which we can just praise God for. Because it didn't used to be like that. If you're going to bring in Bibles, you're going to be risk being shot out of the sky. If you're flying them in, you're going to be at risk getting attacked if you're driving them in. So there was a lot of risks, where those risks are now not even there.
Well, how do you get in? I know in the past you've had to fly in from Uganda.
Well, we'd fly either from Uganda or Kenya, and the at great expense and at great risk.
Because even today?
Not now. Nowadays, you can drive in fairly freely. They're starting to build up the roads and that, so that there's at least somewhat of infrastructure.
Well, where's the money coming from, you know, to begin to develop the southern Sudan, where you have predominantly black Christians? Now, how many of the people there are animists? How many of them are Christians, would you say?
It's difficult to say, but in the South, it's predominantly Christian. The South only makes up about 7 million people, whereas the total population of the country is close to 30 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the South is predominantly Christian, but there's a strong animistic influence, and in a lot of areas you get a lot of syncretism where they're Christians, but they'll still practice the worship of the ancestors and that sort of thing.
Okay, and so is there any industry, or is it just our primary agriculture as it's been for thousands of years?
It's basically subsistence farming, and hopefully that will change.
What about the oil industry there that put in by our good friends from communist China, who we financed?
Well, the oil industry has predominantly help the North, and that's what was, for a long time, supplying the money to buy weapons and that. A lot of those weapons were being supplied from Iraq, and Iraq was the biggest ally of Sudan. And it's only with the tumbling of Iraq that Sudan's been kind of forced to do this peace treaty. The government in the North wasn't willing to do it at any point, but when their biggest ally got nailed, they had to.
So one of the biggest allies now is who?
Well, most of the money going into Sudan in terms of the infrastructure development is coming from USAID.
So we are actually funding then the development. Are we funding development in the South as well as the North?
Well, yeah, a lot of it's going into the South now, which is helping a lot. There's still the conflict in Darfur, which is, they're trying to resolve that, and I think that a lot of the that money is going to be conditional on how that's resolved and that sort of thing.
Well, of course, isn't that a situation where Muslims are attacking Muslims?
Yeah, and Darfur it is. And that's one of the things about Sudan that's kind of bothered me a lot, is that here the atrocities going on in the South, slave raids, putting landmines in people's crops, burning people's crops, and destroying people's homes, and bombing, and all these other things of civilian centers like churches and hospitals. All that was happening in the South, and there was nothing being said. And then as soon as there's a similar conflict like that arrives in the Darfur region, where, you know, it's now Muslim on Muslim, before it was Muslim on Christians, and so we're not going to talk about that. But Muslims on Muslims, hey, we'll make a big scene, and we'll get a whole bunch of relief aid in. And that's one of the things about the media. They only cover, they're very selective as to what they cover.
Well, of course, the media hates Christianity, and when we see that, you know, it should be so obvious to anybody with half an ounce of sense here in the United States, the media, Time Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, Newsweek, and the people who control them and the major media always hate Christianity. They you know, give all sorts of publicity to anything that's anti-Christian, like the Da Vinci Codes or the new, Confessions of Judas, the new Gnostic Gospels that's come out, you know, defaming Christianity. But, you know, when Christians are being persecuted throughout the world, we very, very seldom hear about that.
Yes, and it's very... Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's very sad because there is a tremendous amount of persecution of Christians worldwide, and you just don't hear about it.
Sure. Well, now, of course, what about the AIDS epidemic? You know, this has always been something I've been so concerned about, because this disease has a predilection for blacks. It's almost as if somebody had designed as a disease that they wanted to kill blacks, because even here in the United States, this is predominantly today a disease of the black man, not of the white man, but of the black man. What is AIDS doing to Africa?
AIDS is destroying Africa, and it's hitting, AIDS specifically hits people when they're in their prime of their life, between their 20s and 30s, and that leaves them with you have a household where both parents are wiped out because of AIDS, and then the grandparents are now having to take care of the children or some distant relative, and it's undermining all the economies. Because if you look across Africa, you're looking at somewhere roughly around 30% of the continent has HIV, and the only place where this has actually been reversed, where AIDS is, or HIV has decreased, was Uganda. And that's because they've taken a very strong stand to say, look, we need to abstain. There's been a lot of promotion in terms of abstinence, whereas the other countries, they're pushing condoms, and it's just not working. Things are just getting out of hand.
Well, of course, as I've pointed out, you know, in Botswana, we have very good records on what's happening with the AIDS epidemic in Africa. It's all being funded by our U.S. Census Bureau. Now, why is the U.S. Census Bureau monitoring the AIDS epidemic in Africa? Why, to see what a good job we're doing controlling it. And in Botswana, the latest figures from the U.S. Census Bureau, Department of Commerce, 46% of the pregnant women going in to be tested for HIV disease in Botswana are HIV infected. And of course, that's either a failed public health policy or a successful genocidal policy. If you had a failed public health policy, you'd certainly want to change it, wouldn't you? Well, we're continuing exactly the same thing of pushing condoms, which doesn't work. But of course, in Uganda, where they pushed abstinence, why they've been viciously attacked and threatened, and actually forced to offer them there, threatened with cutting off all funds for Uganda. So they offer them, but they really don't believe in them. They believe abstinence works 100% of the time, and so do I. What economic impact is AIDS having on the mining and other industries in Africa?
Well, it's having a devastating impact because it is taking out the most productive people in their productive years.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Tim Keller. And if you have a question, give us a call, 970-689-8255, here at the American Freedom Network.
Cancer patients fully recovered during a 1934 study sponsored by Dr. Milbank Johnson and the University of Southern California using Dr. Royal Rife's frequency generator. Rife invented the world's most powerful optical microscope capable of seeing a living virus. With it, he isolated bacteria and viruses that cause many diseases, such as asthma, allergies, arthritis, bronchitis, colitis, diabetes, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, herpes, lupus, migraines, shingles, staph, strep, psoriasis, and more. Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Do you suffer with bad breath, bleeding gums, gingivitis, or canker sores? Or would you like to keep your mouth healthy without using harmful chemicals? Vitamir has the answer, a natural and effective toothpaste and mouthwash with a unique and patented formula that thousands are using and feeling that squeaky clean sensation. To order or for more information, call our toll-free number, 888-558-8482. Remember, the beginning of your health starts with your mouth. Vitamir products are available at most fine health food stores, including Vitamin Cottage, Whole Foods Markets, and Sunflower Market. Or you can visit us online at www.vitamyr.com. That's www.vitamyr.com. Call us today at 888-558-8482.
Dan back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Tim Keller. Tim, why don't you get the web page and the telephone number and other information out about Frontline Ministries?
Okay, if you want to know more about Frontline Fellowship, you can go to our website. It's www.frontline.org.za. And
that's Z-A.
That's right.
Okay. That's frontline.org.za for... well, that's South Africa anyway. Go ahead.
Right. Otherwise, you can get a hold of our sister mission, which is here in the United States out of Tempe, Arizona, and that's www.intouchmission.org.
And is there a telephone number people can call? Because lots of people may not have access to the Internet.
Yes, you can contact us either, if you're outside of Arizona, you can contact us at 888-918-4100.
You always... repeat the number twice on talk radio. Go ahead, one more time.
That number is 888-918-4100.
Okay, and if you are in Arizona?
If you're within Arizona, you can get us at 480-968-4100. That's 480-968-4100.
Very good. Yeah, I can tell you don't do a lot of talk radio, but that's one of the first in cardinal rules. You always repeat it two times. Anyway, of course, we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will give serious consideration if you want to support a group that is really dedicated to missions, and they have missions not only in Africa, they have them in Poland too, don't you?
In Touch Mission does work a lot in Poland and Eastern Europe. They have been for many years, even smuggling Bibles behind the Iron Curtain.
Okay, so this is really a wonderful ministry, and they're doing a great job of trying to spread the word of God, which is the only solution for the problems of Africa. But then it's really the only solution to the problems of America. Unfortunately, the gospel that's being preached in America today does not stress the fact that we're sinners or the fear of God. It's an entirely different gospel, which only came about in the last few years, and of course this whole idea of the church not being involved. This is a new idea. It has been preached in our seminaries because they, here in America, they were infiltrated probably close to 60 or 70 years ago by those people who are moving us towards where we are today. We're in the face of tremendous a danger for the survival of civilization, in the face of really the things that are going on in the world today, where our government condones torture and aggressive and preemptive wars, and is financing dictatorships throughout the world, why there's a tremendous silence on the part of the church. Well, basically, as you look at Africa today, is Christianity really having an impact? Is it changing there? And you talked a little bit about Malawi, too. You've actually had some experience there. But first of all, is Christianity beginning to change Africa? Or is Africa going along as it has for the last 100 years?
Well, I think it is starting to change things. The thing is that the people, there's been widespread evangelistic efforts across the continent. A lot of people have come to the Lord. They know and they love the Lord, but there's been very little discipleship done, and this has had a tremendous impact. And there's also very few Bibles available for people. There's 100 million Christians in Africa that don't even have the Word of God for themselves. Here in the United States, we can have 5 Bibles sitting on the shelf collecting dust, and the people there, sometimes even pastors, don't even have the Word of God for themselves. And so this has left a huge vacuum and has rendered the church relatively ineffective when it comes to influencing the society beyond that of just coming to a knowledge of the Lord.
And so your job is to get Bibles in. Now, are these predominantly English Bibles? Are these written in the tribal dialects or all of the above?
Well, both. And we try to get the local dialects, preferably, but there's been a widespread desire to learn English because it's being an international trade language in that. So there's a lot of people that want to learn English, and therefore the demand for Bibles in English is also very great.
And where do you get the Bibles printed? Do you print it there in South Africa?
It depends where we're shipping them to. And the Bibles that we would bring into Sudan, we would have to actually get them printed probably in Malaysia or one of these countries, because trying to get things printed in Africa is actually quite expensive because of the heavy taxation.
I see. So actually you're getting them in Malaysia and bringing them in. I just have a book sitting in my lap here. It's printed in Korea, apparently. They can get very, very good rates at getting things done over there.
Yes.
Well, now, what about Malawi? How did you get into Malawi?
Malawi is a country that we weren't particularly interested in doing work just because there's been a lot of missionaries going there. There's a lot of widespread Christian influence. However, the influence of Islam there is also very, very strong. And, in fact, this is kind of widespread throughout Africa. Money coming from the Middle East has put up mosques all over the continent. And even though there might be very few Muslims in a country, they have a very strong influence because they're actively involved in business, they're actively involved in politics, and these two, and sometimes in education. And these avenues have led them to have a tremendous influence. For example, in South Africa, the Muslim population is like 1.6%, less than 2%. And yet they make up about 30% of the cabinet and government, and they own, I think, most of the businesses in South Africa. And these are not your passive, peaceful, everyday Muslims. These are your radical types that are supporting Al-Qaeda and these kinds of things.
And of course, I mean, the financing for all of this comes from our good friends in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And they've really been financing this whole radical Wahhabi movement all throughout Africa. Have you encountered that?
Yes, Saudi money is definitely influencing a lot of areas. In fact, Osama bin Laden helped finance the translation of the Quran into Zulu, into South Africa. So there's money even coming from the more radical types. In Malawi, there's been a strong Muslim influence. They've even had a Muslim president in the previous term, but he's now been replaced by a Christian president who was the former vice president. And this guy, his name's Bingu Mutharika, he actually has done a few things that have upset the Muslims. For example, he's closed down the Libyan embassy. He's opened the Israeli embassy. He got rid of all the Muslims out of the national intelligence, has replaced them with Israelis. And this has really led to an outrage of the Muslims, and they even tried to take his life at one point. And so he's having to duck and dive and try to resolve this thing peaceably. But it's very difficult because the more the Muslims have a higher percentage of the population, the more difficult they are to deal with. They're fighting this out in France and other European countries as well.
Well, that is the influence of this radical form of Islam actually growing in Malawi?
I'd actually think it's shrinking.
Well, of course, you know, why would anybody want to become a Muslim? You know, certainly, it's a religion that just consumes you. You're praying five times a day. You know, you are required to do so many things, and the thing is that if you are a Muslim and you convert to another religion, they will kill you. I mean, everything is based upon fear, not love of God, but fear of God.
Yes, and the people are becoming Muslims in Africa primarily for welfare handouts and these kind of things.
And they do take care of them. It's required if you're a Muslim to be charitable and to give to other Muslims. But this draws people into this religion, which of course leads them away from it. We'll be right back.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
With so much concern over the world economy, rising interest rates, and skyrocketing oil prices, and a more than 50-50 chance that the entire electronic infrastructure may collapse globally, how come not one so-called expert is advising Americans to buy gold? Could it be that they're not telling us everything? Gold and silver will retain value when everything else fails. Don't get caught when they can't find your IRA or 401k. Call the Patriot Trading Group. We don't offer free reports or newsletters. We don't take your phone number, and we don't play games. Just the finest product at the fairest prices and the fastest delivery in the entire industry. Call 1-800-951-0592. We've helped thousands of good people on the Colorado Front Range get prepared, and we can help you too. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 for price quotes or information. And remember, I'm right behind you. That way when we turn around and run, I'll be in front.
Well, I understand. Dan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Tim Keller from In Touch Ministries, or from Frontline Ministries in South Africa, working with Peter Hammond. Our telephone number, 970-689-8255. That's 970-689-8255. Well, then, is the Christian influence in Malawi actually increasing there?
I would say it's increasing, and I'd say the influence of Islam is decreasing. Despite the fact that they've been able to pump all this money into the country, people only become Muslims because they can get a job, because they can get a handout, or they're offering free education for the students, but people are learning that this education they're being offered is nothing more than just memorizing the Quran. It's not very useful, and so people that are Muslims aren't really heart and soul Muslims. They're just wanting a free lunch.
Well, you know, is there an educational system? Does your ministry encourage Christian education? Are the churches, you know, establishing Christian schools over there so that people can learn how to learn to read and write and read the Word of God?
Yes, I believe that's one of the primary ways that we're going to be able to disciple the continent and be able to turn this continent into a thriving Christian society, and that is through the education. We've been trying to supply Christian textbooks. We've done a lot of this in Sudan. We do a lot of teacher training where we go through the teachers and teach them about how Christian education differs from secular education and equipping them to be able to do that. And we want to do it on a much larger scale, but we don't have the resources at the moment.
And, of course, you know, in one time here in the United States, education was for one purpose, and that was to teach people how to read so they could read God's words. I mean, all of our schools initially were affiliated with the churches, and then gradually that has gone by the wayside to the point where in our schools today you can't even mention the word God or Christianity, or you can't have a prayer or even horrors post the Ten Commandments that say, thou shalt not kill, and then we wonder why our kids are killing other kids. Didn't happen by accident. Long-range planning. Well, what do you need most over there in Africa today? What could our listeners who are concerned about what's happening do possibly to help?
Well, I think one of the primary needs is like you mentioned, education. Here you have, like you said, here in the United States, you can't even mention God or pray in schools and these sorts of things, whereas in Africa, it's prayers. They pray before class. Even in public schools, they do this. And there's a lot of opportunity for us to take advantage of just getting the gospel into the schools through the education system and having that impact the society on all levels. And one of the ways that we're doing this is through our textbooks and our Bible distribution and things like that. So we need people that are willing to get behind us in these various projects. And if you want to know more about these projects, you can go to our website. That's www.frontline.org.za. There you can get more information about our different projects and help us out where you can.
Well, we certainly appreciate everything that you and Peter and the rest of the people on the team are doing. And we always look forward. We get regular emails. And incidentally, any of our listeners who are interested in getting on the email list, why you can keep in touch with what we're doing that way, as do we. And then, of course, there's so much information that they're putting out about the real needs in Africa. Isn't it amazing that it's all right to pray in Africa, but in schools, but we couldn't have prayer here in the United States because that would be a violation of our Constitution? Anybody who believes that, of course, is going to be incredibly naive. The reason we can't have prayer here is because they want to paganize our society and destroy the foundation of our freedom, which rests on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, you know, it's amazing how these things go in cycles. I guess the American people won't understand the real value of Christianity until they've lost all freedom. And then, of course, people will once again cry out to the Lord. But then it may be too late. Well, anyway, of course, I certainly appreciate what you and the other rest of the team are doing. Is there anything, parting thought you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning before we let you go?
Well, Africa is a place where, like Jesus said, the harvest is ripe. but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers into the harvest fields. And I feel this is exactly where Africa is at. Here you have a country that needs missionaries, that needs people that are going to be involved in education and discipleship, but the laborers are very few. Very few people are working there. So I just want to encourage people to pray, and if the Lord might be leading them to come to Africa or to do work there, we are running a Great Commission course, which we do missionary training in Cape Town. That will be in the latter part of June, early part of July. It's about a three-week training course. And for information on that, they can visit our website. We also have on the website a lot of articles and things that can be downloaded. And I encourage people to visit.
But you left the United States and all the comforts we have to go to Africa and live there in a very dangerous part of the world.
Yes.
What motivated you to do that?
Just reading God's word and seeing the needs and knowing that that's where God's heart is, and I want to be where that is.
Well, God bless you for what you're doing, and for our listeners out there, you know, if you can go, go. If not, help the people who are over there. And I believe that Peter and Tim and the other people on his team, and whenever they come here, why, we always try to get them on to keep you abreast of what's happening in that tragic part of the world where this battle for the souls of men is being fought out. And so often we find the United States funding the wrong side in these battles. Oh, shucks, how can it be we're constantly making such, so many mistakes, many simple mistakes. And I don't think they're simple mistakes. I think they're being done intentionally. And I think that we here in the United States, we're funding the policies of our government and bear the responsibility for what we are doing tragically in bringing tyrants to power and destroying the infrastructure of this very, very prosperous and really wonderful society. That I've been there, I've lived there, and I can tell you that I saw no animosity between black and white when I lived in Africa. What about now? Is there animosity between black and white?
In most of the countries, not. The only place that you'll actually find a lot of animosity between the blacks and the whites is in South Africa.
Right, and certainly wasn't there when I lived there. And anyway, we're out of time, Tim. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us, and we look forward to speaking to you again, I guess, maybe later tonight. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a mile high energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, I understand here. American Freedom Network. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Tim Keller. And, of course, we have interviews with Peter Hammond. We have some interviews with Peter in our four tape set, The Other Holocaust, which goes into the tragic story of Rwanda and, of course, the part that America played in allowing that terrible, horrible genocide that killed almost 800,000 Christians. How that occurred because of the policies of the American government. You'll see that story at least in part in the movie Hotel Rwanda. And of course, if you want to hear my interviews with the Canadian general who was in charge there, Colonel Romeo Dallier, we have my interviews with him recorded, and we'd be glad to share those with you. And you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, there is organized evil in the world. And General Nasser, Colonel Nasser, who ruled Egypt, said, you know, the genius of Americans is you never make a simple mistakes. You never make simple, stupid mistakes. You always make complicated, stupid mistakes that leave us wondering if we're missing something. And I'd like to suggest we don't make mistakes. Our State Department, whether the Democrats or Republicans are power, is always controlled by members of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Secretary of State always comes from the CFR, and they are a front for a secret society created by Cecil Rhodes, dedicated to the destruction of national sovereignty and world government. And that's why we have the immigration invasion today that is actually being facilitated and encouraged by people at the highest levels of our government and the Ford Foundation and even our president, who refers to the Minutemen group who are trying to guard our borders as vigilantes. Vigilantes. Well, you have to understand that there is another agenda. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or get the video or audio tape, and we have it both in video and DVD. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, we ask you to get my other material, my talk on the world revolution, which simply is based upon a book called Fire in the Minds of Men, written by James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress. We offer that book. And he tells you that this whole world revolutionary movement didn't come out of the Enlightenment, as you've been told in your schools. It came out of the occult. And when you begin to understand the occult influence at every aspect of our lives, if you read and if you get my latest newsletter, which just went out, that's the March newsletter, and we simply reproduced President Bush's second inaugural speech, where he refers to fire in the minds of men. What's he talking about? He's talking about the world revolution. He's talking about James H. Billington's book. He's talking about a book written by Dostoevsky, what is called The Possessed, talking about the world revolution. They understand the world revolution. You just don't. And President Bush concludes his speech talking about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. An ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is the new order of the ages? Type it in on Google. It's the Novus Ordo Seclorum that's described on the back of your dollar bill beneath the unfinished pyramid. The speeches are pregnant with occult meaning. The trouble is most people don't understand what it's all about. You need to get, if you'd like, a free copy of my March newsletter. We'll send it to you free of charge. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk, World Revolution, you need to get it. You need to understand what's going on. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at Amerifree.com.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible